Yeah, it's going to be nice to have some language background. Make it a lot easier.
Sure, make
it.
Yeah. Not only credit-wise, but I think just there's an advantage in what you can do in a grad program.
Yeah.
Having the languages. I mean, we really, you know, it's like, you know, having Peter and Eric there and ones that have got the Hebrew, you know, we can always give them the Hebrew assignments, you know, and they can, I mean, they're working on some things there that unless you had some knowledge of the languages, you'd really be slowed down. And you'd always feel a little intimidated, too, you know, feel a little...
You can get so good at the research books, but beyond that, when you want to get into more revelation.
Right, exactly. There's quite a price to pay for it, but decide what's, you know, there's no other way through it. Well, lesson 44, these lessons are going to come thick and fast now, as you can see. They takes us, you know, half an hour to go through the lesson, and then we're in a new set of exercises. So here we are looking at lesson 44. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll find plenty to do. Then we pull out our text and we start going through there. So as far as fine points of grammar, we won't have much. And in Greek, we'll be, you know, using Dane and Matthew and a lot of things. This book's got as much of that as any book you'll find. So we'll be pretty much sticking with this book. Once we're finished with this, we're just going to start pulling the text out. And I'm going to go through different portions of Scripture. We'll start off in Genesis and do a little bit of that. Most everybody just goes through Genesis. But we'll take a little bit of Genesis, and then I want to expose you to some the Psalms, Proverbs, poetical books, later historical books, the prophets, you know, just get some sampling of the kinds of Hebrew we'll find throughout the Old Testament.
I've understood that Job is one of the more difficult books. Is that because of a large number of words that are uncertain, or is it because of the structure?
Well, it's a poetic book, so you have a certain poetic structure. It's more poetic structure in Hebrew than it is in English. And then I think vocabulary, too, is supposed to be considered to be the oldest book. So you may have a lot of words that have, you know, are older nature. And so your vocabulary is going to be a little bit more difficult, too. Other than that, structurally and grammatically, I don't think there's that much problem. It's just a poetic style. So maybe we'll take a look at Job a little bit, too, and try to get a feeling for the different types of things we see. Okay. Yes. What's that? Oh yeah, we're finishing in 44. Test-wise, let's see. We could assign that even today if you want. Try to establish it. Usually you have a week gap between the vocab. We can have the vocab one. Well, I hate to bring you back from vacation right into a test. We could do it on. We could do it on Thursday. Is that all right with everybody? Okay, that'd be about right. So that would be Thursday. Does somebody have the date for that?
Thursday?
Yeah, the Thursday when we get back, week from tomorrow. 29?
29, yeah.
Okay. And then we'll make the next Thursday the grammar. And there's not much grammar, so I think if you'll be back. Yeah, I think we'll make it a full week. Unless you, would you prefer to have it on Tuesday that next week? Does Tuesday work out better for tests?
No.
No, I'm not talking about, yeah. I'm talking about the week after. See, when we come back a week from tomorrow, we'll have the vocab. And then we could have the grammar the next Tuesday if you wanted. Is that all right? Yeah, I guess you might as well hit it hard. Okay, Tuesday, that would be what date? Who's got a calendar?
That's the 4th.
Okay. Okay, good. That's what we'll do.
Now, we're going to do that grammar the same way. We've got to know a few things.
Yes. There'll be a few things. On this one, I'll have to take a look at my test again just to tell you for sure. But I suspect that what it'll be is, let's see, we've got for this one.
Chapter on PL.
Yeah, PL. Now, we had the PL already in the other test as far as the basic forms. So just be pool, and I'll tell you some more, too. I'm not sure what... it'll be basic pool. I'll tell you how much I want you to know of that, too. I'm not sure if I want you to have to do the whole paradigm, but Hifil, for sure, you'll know the need to know the paradigm for Hifil, and Hishmid, you can use that as the model. Yeah, Hishmid. Just the regular one that they give you in the paradigm. Page 213, bottom 214. So it's the same kind of deal there. And then the uses of the hip field, there's these five categories of uses. Be familiar with those. But I'll give you more detail. Huh?
I have a few questions, but they'll be a day we review.
Yeah, we'll have a review on them. So, yeah, we'll do that before we take the test. Okay. Part A, numbers 1, 6, 12, and 18 I had to do. And then the other one is an oral one, and I didn't even put down the answers to that one myself, so we'll be doing that one together. I did tell you to do all of B, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay, I told you that without... I don't even have it written down myself, so it's fine. It'll be fun. Okay, number one then, John.
Yashmidu and Sha'are Yirehu.
Okay.
They will destroy the gates of our city, or I'm not sure whether you would want to say that they will cause the gates of our city to be destroyed, whether you'd want to pass it.
Yeah, maybe. They're just giving this as to destroy, so it's a Hifil verb.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. And it may be that this is, I think, one of those we don't have the a call form, so it's real hard to know exactly how to translate it. I think destroy is just fine, just because that's the way they give it to you. Okay, number six, Eric.
Yah Yama Es Yamei.
Okay. Okay.
Prolong the days of your life.
Yahweh will lengthen or prolong the days of your life. And I think this is adjusted form. That's what I've got down here. Ya'areich. Let's see. Yeah.
That's how you know because of the theory?
Yeah, I think that's the main point on this one. Yeah.
So it is still a
Hifil,
but it's an adjusted form of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a Hifil adjusted. And so you could say, let Yahweh lengthen the days of your life. Since it's not part of a consecutive chain. Yeah, that's the only thing I think you've got to go by, is the Tzeri. Okay, so it'd be better to have let Yahweh lengthen the days of your life, just because it's a adjusted form. Okay, number 12, let's see, Price.
Lo te'anu es ha'zavim.
Okay.
I'm scrambling for this verb here. It's got to be one of those one nuns or one yod. It's we will not do something to the doors.
Try a three hey. Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, I tried
that. Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, press. Remember we had the word for oppression? And the word vocabulary. I think we had to do this one recently in the vocabulary.
It has it in the back. I don't know what it was, but it had it in the back.
Did it? I thought we had it in
the back. The answer and then the hit notes to oppress.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the connection between.
Nah, I don't know. That's a good one. That's a good one for a difficult connection. Where did I saw? I thought we had vocabulary. Maybe we didn't.
I don't think we did.
Maybe we didn't.
I looked it up in the back.
Okay.
I figured it was on.
Mm-hmm.
I figured why you will not answer the poor ones.
Oh, poor ones.
Yeah, the poor ones. Okay. Yeah. So it should be you will not oppress the poor ones. You shall not oppress the poor ones.
That's not a first person plural.
Third person plural, let's see, you...
Imperative?
Yeah, it's imperative form, imperative and a plural.
Imperative.
Second person plural, really. Masculine. Huh?
I got something on that one.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they'll humble you once in a while, especially when you've been... Yeah, you got the negation. Yes, I think it's an appeal imperative.
The dagation.
Yeah, that nun there's got the dagation. That's a pretty good tip off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's from inna to oppress. It's appeal form. So you probably may not have... You said there was a call that was to answer, huh?
Yeah.
With the same? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how to figure that one. To answer intensively? That doesn't really make impression. Okay. Number 18, Doug. Yeah, ahavti. Okay. Ahavati, excuse me. Yeah, ahavati. Yeah, get it. Yeah, ahavati. Okay. This is a noun form for love.
Yeah.
With the suffix.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is a token of my love, or this is a sign of my love. Mm-hmm. Okay, any questions there? Yes, it looks like it. Infinitive construct and then made that into a noun, looks like. Or so, you know, it looks like an infinitive construct type of.
Yeah, it's a mention of
something. Mm-hmm. You see it more directly in the with a suffix on it, because you get the tau there, and that's pretty typical of those. But then it's got the noun form is ahava, ahava. Okay, the ahava. So it's related to the verb. Okay, now on these numbered ones, we'll just go around and see what we can do with them. 50 fish. Who wants to do that? Yes, Peter.
Hamishim dog.
Yeah, hamishim dog. You could just use the singular. Okay, you could use dogim too if you wanted. Yes, Eric. Oh, you're volunteering? Oh, good. Okay, 20 tablets.
Esrim Lucho.
Okay, Esrim Lucho. Okay, good. Let's see, 30 stones. Anybody? Peter?
Shiloshim Evan.
Yeah, Shiloshim Evan. Okay. Fais?
Ba'im Yamayim.
Okay.
No, plural of
I don't know. That one might not have had a plural. Yeah, you can go either way, which is kind of nice. You can't remember what the plural is, you can just use the singular. I didn't check on that. Did you have a question earlier, Eric? Or
I didn't remember that you could have the plural.
Yeah. In fact, we'll get a little bit more insight in this next chapter on that, but what it appears to be is that things that are often, very often, let's see, there's a statement here, and nouns that are frequently itemized, such as ish, shana, so forth, frequently given it in numbers of them, are using the singular. In other words, where it's very common to talk about a certain number of this or a certain number of that, they tend to use the singular, and then the rest of the time they tend to use the plural. So if it's something that's not normally itemized, they'll use the plural, and if it's something that's very commonly itemized, they use the singular. So that's kind of the idea there. So I don't know whether, you know, fish are commonly itemized, and it depends on whether you're a fisherman or not, I suppose.
But days and nights probably
would be. Yeah, days and nights probably would be. So you're maybe more likely to see singular there, but, it could be either one. Okay. 50 honest men. Adjective in there, too. Yeah, John?
Hamishim Cain.
Okay. Yeah, you can just put Cain there and get honest men and don't fool with it anymore. All right. 90 garments. Yes, Eric?
Tishim Begadim.
Okay. Tishim Begadim, or maybe Tishim Begad, too. And I'm not sure how commonly those are counted. And half of the milk. Peter.
Chatsi chalav.
Okay, chatsi chalav. Mm-hmm. Question?
I saw that it's in an article on tef chalav, the construct.
Yes, half of the milk. Yeah, with construct. It kind of depends on, you know, the half of the milk. It's the, does he give any, only just says chatsi. Seems like we had that before, and they may have given the idiom there. Yeah.
I think we talked about
that. Seems like, yeah, the half of it being construct. It still could be in construct and still be indefinite, in other words, but the question is if it, it is construct, but the question is it normally used with a definite? Do they say the half of something? Seems like that sticks in my mind. But it's, when, it was way back here in vocab we had chatsi.
I think Daniel checked it and they
Seems like we, yeah, it's coming back, the memory banks are bringing it up again.
Yeah, they're saying they were, and
yeah.
I think
they
came
up,
so we're used.
Okay, so if both are used, we'll give you credit for both on this too. Okay, well, let's move to the reading then. And verse 16, let's see, who do we leave off with on the major ones there? Doug, you did the last reading, so Peter, why don't you go ahead to verse 16. Yeah, go ahead. We'll just take them one by one verse.
Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, Nemor. Pakod. Pakadzi. Eskim.
Okay. That could be a sui too. A sui, I think it probably would be which way you pronounce it, you know. A sui. Because you can go ahead and have a shurek and then glide into a yod. That's interesting. Okay.
I had to get that word from the text.
Okay.
Go and gather the elders of Israel, and you will say to them, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, appeared to me, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, surely I will keep my promise, or by keeping I will keep. Or I think that the King James has to visit there. Keep promise.
Do they have that to keep promises listed too?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Okay, I got you now.
And it makes more sense the other way, though. I have what I got down, and then I kind of cheated, and I have written down what I got from the Bible.
I can understand why. This verb is a little bit hard to pull over it in English.
Surely I have visited you and have seen that which is done to you in Egypt.
You almost have to supply the have seen too.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing really there. Yeah, it just says, surely I visited you and what was done to you in Egypt is almost what it's got, you know. But that's, so you almost have to supply something.
Question? That's the interrogative thing?
Yeah, no, that he'asui is a passive participle. From a three-hey verb. And I've got a note here to see page 157. I think that's what gives you the... What was done to you? See, it's the thing done to you.
Okay.
And three-hey, we've got banui there. If you look at the... On page 157, it gives the passive participles there in the second column. And the third one up from the bottom is bana. And this one we have is asa. So that was banui. This would be asui. And then the hat is just because it's the article. And it's going to take the sigil on that form. So he'asui is the thing done to you in Egypt, passive participle. So what was done to you in Egypt? What was done to you? That's a good question. That's a good question. Literally, it just, the trouble is that the way you translate this visit, it's got the kind of idea, surely I have visited you. The idea is that I've come down to know you and perceive you and what was done to you. I mean, that's kind of the idea. So what else did they give you for a translation of visit in the
keep one's promise.
Keep one's promise. That's the only other thing?
No.
Pay attention. Yeah. That'd be more akin to what's happening. He's perceived, he's paid attention to it, he's
passed in review.
Passed in review, yeah. You can see it's used a lot broader than any word that we would have in English. And so it's kind of covering this idea of coming down to, you know, acknowledge, know, perceive, you know, be present, you know, there with him. So the point is that he's letting him know that he knows everything that's been going on and he sees what's happened to him in Egypt and so forth. Okay. Yeah. That's a little bit awkward. Yeah, it does. Because you don't visit things, you visit people, you know. And that word can be translated visit in certain contexts. But here we kind of have two mixed contexts, as it were. In other words, it becomes apparent here from this that any English translation we give for this word is not quite it. You know, the Hebrew word is perfectly consistently used within one context both ways. So it means that we don't have precisely the meaning. So that's why you're kind of finding yourself groping for a way to get both you and what has happened to you in Egypt together as a compound object for this verb.
Then you can see how the word perceives. Like he's come, surely I have reviewed you and what
is
done to you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that might be a good way to render it, just to hear. I've reviewed you and what is done to you in Egypt, you know, and that he's perceived it all. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Even add that in here as a possibility. Okay. 17. Back to John.
Vayomer Aale Eskem Meoni Mitzrayim Eretz HaKena'ani V'HaChiti V'HaEmori V'HaPerez.
You got all the ites. Yeah, Perzi. Waha Perzi, I guess.
Perzi. Waha Hiu.
And this one you can probably pronounce with a, yeah, because it's got another vowel point on it.
That is a vowel point.
Yeah.
It looks like a period at the end of the sentence.
Yeah.
Waha
Hiu. Yes. Waha
Hiu.
Okay.
Hayabusi El Eretz Zavah Halav U Javash.
Okay.
And he said, I will lead you up from the affliction of Egypt toward the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites. The Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites toward the land flowing with milk and honey.
Yes. Okay, the first verb form there, that's a little tricky. It's wa-omar. Instead of, you know, it looks like wa-yomer when you look at it. And he said, but it's wa-omar, and that's actually, and I have said. Okay. So it's just a perfect form with of Amar. And I have said, I will lead. So I have said that I will lead almost. You've got and then an imperfect form following it. Yes. Oh, excuse me, it's a converted imperfect form. In other words, it's got perfect meaning. But Wa Omar. So you remember you've got, it's a one-olive verb, and then you've got The Aleph is your prefix for the imperfect, but you don't put two Alephs down. They superimpose, as it were. So it's an imperfect, but it's converted to perfect. Okay. And, yeah, question? That's because of the Aleph again. Before the Aleph, you're going to get a comma. It's on the all consecutive form. So, and lots of things there. Always something there. Okay, and then translation-wise, then it would come out like, and I have said, I will lead you up from the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, into a land flowing with milk and honey. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. The with you have to supply from the context, you know. This is just a land flowing milk and honey is what it literally said. Okay, any other questions? Number 18 then, Eric. Excuse me. If you had a dagation mid, yeah, it would be vocal in the schwa, so it's midbar. Mm-hmm. But the dagation, the base, of course, is your dagish lane there. It's a begat kafat. And, okay. When nizbacha there, too. Same kind of thing happens there, short syllable. Schwa. Silent. Okay, go ahead, translate then. Yeah, met or approached, yeah.
Approached?
Has approached or met with us or approached with us. It's kind of the idea that he's met with us. Beginning, and they will hear your voice, listen to your voice, and you will come or go. It's ba can be to come or go. Sometimes it's so. And you will come or go. You and the elders of Israel to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him. I think you had they will say, but Amartem. You will say to him, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us or approached us. And now let us go. This is a cohortative form here. So let us go, we pray, permit us, or let us go, we pray, for a journey. You almost have to put a for there, something like that. Let us go a journey, or let us go for a journey of 3 days. Huh? Yeah, that's better. Let us take a journey. That could be a way to idiomatically get around it. But the verb form they use there is halach, so that would be more of what they're looking at, I guess. What verb did they use there? Let me double check it again. Yeah, neilcha. No, let us go. That's from halach, in spite of what it looks like. Okay, and then, so let us go for a journey of 3 days into the wilderness. And you could have, so that we may sacrifice to Yahweh our God. Cohortative plus imperfect series. Let us so that. I don't think I caught you wrong if you just said and let us sacrifice to Yahweh and take it as another cohortative, because there is some debate about that. But you could take it this way, so that we may sacrifice to Yahweh our God. Yes, Peter?
What is the Nikra? What kind of form?
Okay. Okay, Nikra. Yes.
I
had a picture, I don't remember why. Yeah, I think it's
just a Nifal.
Yeah, it's met with us. Yeah, just a third person.
In that comment.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it's a three-hey verb. So that's the reason for the comments. And then, yeah, has met. Just a regular old nifal. So the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Mm-hmm. Okay, any other question? Because the nun couldn't be anything else. Couldn't be your first person plural on an imperfect, because it's the subject is God. So sometimes you can eliminate certain things just by the grammatical context. All right, 19. Who's next? Okay, Christ. Got a short one.
What are names? Yada Aki, Ki, Lo, Yitain, Eskim, Melech, Mitzrayim, Wahalulo, Walo, Ayad, Azaka.
Okay.
I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go, and I decided something a little more through the text, unless a strong hand encouraged him.
Okay.
Except by a show of strength.
Yeah, except by a show of strength. Yeah, and it's literally something like and not in a strong hand or something literally. And not without a strong hand or something like that. He kind of gives you a note, except by a show of strength. And it's literally and not in a strong hand.
Right, just a big
hand. Yeah, right. That's a pretty good picture. That's a pretty good picture. Yeah. So, in other words, I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go, and not in a strong hand. In other words, the idea is not without some power, not even with some strength is he going to let you do it. You're going to have real strength. That seems to be the image to me. Now, notice too that you have ani yadati. Now, with just yadati, you have I know. But then putting the ani on it is even more emphatic. So I know, I put an underline, and I know that the king of Egypt will, because God knows everything, and he's telling him ahead of time that he knows this is going to happen. A little bit more emphasis. Okay, verse 20, Doug. Well, any other questions first? And I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except by a show of strength, or literally a knot in a strong hand. Okay, 20. Doug.
Okay.
Niflothai. Yeah, niflo thai. Anytime you see two shawas in a row, the first one's silent, the second one's vocal. Niflo thai.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a good. This is one of the hardest ones. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The two were Akana Re Ting Vishana Yakin.
Okay.
I shall send forth my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I shall plant the Egyptian.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you might take it instrumental almost, with all my wonder. Smite them with all my wonder, or smite them in all my wonder. Yeah, it's not bad, but they're looking for an instrumental idea here. In English. Yes? Oh, yes. You mean for wonder, the word for wonders here? Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's a noun built from an if-all form, that's right.
Isn't it a plural form of five wonders?
Yes, my wonders, with all my wonders, right. Feminine plural ending and then the suffix on it. Okay. Mitzrayim would be just I will smite Egypt rather than the Egyptians too, because it's just the name of the nation. So I will smite Egypt with all my wonders, or in all my wonders. In other words, the idea is kind of the idea in Greek. I will smite them in the realm of all my wonders. In other words, in the domain of my wonders. I think it's very similar to the Greek instrumental idea, where they'll use an oftentimes to indicate the means by which they do something. It's very akin to the locative idea, too, but I don't dare get into that now. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I just tried Egypt with all my wonders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Yeah, and which I will do in his midst. The his could probably be referring back to Egypt, and therefore you might translate it in its midst, you know, in the midst of Egypt. I will do in its midst. Huh? In the midst of them. Yeah, that would be a little looser. It's actually a singular form, a suffix. It's referring to it. It's referring back to Egypt, but to smooth it out in English, you know. Yeah, right. Yes. That's interesting, too, because Mitzrayim does have a dual ending. And that's kind of curious, too, because there was the name of one of the sons was Mitzrayim. And I don't know. They've related Egypt having that name because of being in the midst between the Nile and the... I can't remember what the idea is now. They get some kind of idea of a midst between two things or something. I can't remember the details. I don't know. Huh? Yeah, upper and lower in Egypt is for the dual idea. I've heard that. But then if the name came from a man who was born with that name, you know, either the name was given prophetically or the name was changed later and then we knew him by that or whatever. I don't know.
So is it common in Hebrew, like in English, we refer to nations, we always refer to them in the plural, you know, they
mm-hmm.
they'll
right.
they'll say
he. Yeah, well, even in English sometimes we may talk about a nation as it too. Russia's going to send its troops, you know, something like that. Or we'll say Russia will send their troops, huh?
We use the collective.
Yeah, we can use it collectively, and that's basically what's happening in Hebrew. It's sometimes functioning like a collective, but we've seen things like the word Am, sometimes you'll see a singular thing, verb used with it. Sometimes you'll see a plural, because they will sometimes be mentally conceiving of it, even though the noun is singular, they'll be focusing on the individuals that are doing it, so they'll use plural. So it's just pretty much the same as what English will do. So that's why I probably wouldn't object in a translation like that, although technically it is a singular form there in the suffix, referring back to Egypt. And so if you saw that, for example, you were doing a test in translating, what I would do is make sure that you put down the literal first and then say, you know, a paraphrase or something. Or if you put the paraphrase, then put down literally, you know, so I know that you saw that the suffix was singular, referring back to Egypt. So always take the safe route. If you're going to do any paraphrasing, make sure that you let me know you saw the literal first, so I'd don't think you're just guessing or you just memorized the King James on it or something. Okay. All right. What else did I want to say? Well, there's that idiom of stretching out the hand, sending forth his hand. Kind of an interesting one. It's using shalach, and he's going to send out the hand. So literally, I'm going to send my hand, but stretch it out. You can see the picture. And then you've got the PL form of shalach down at the second to the last word to expel you. You know, he will send you forth. He'll kick you out. He'll expel you. So it's not just send. It's a PL form. It's intensive. K21. Who's next? Peter.
Nasaki. Yes.
Okay.
I will allow this people favor in the eyes of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be that as you go, you will not go empty.
Right. Good. It will be that as you go, you will not go empty. Or when you go, you will not go empty. There's that paragogic nun again, too, at the end. Te-le-hun instead of te-le-hu. So, and I can't tell you why it's there. Yeah.
Why does Egypt this time have a comment? And when right above it, there's a pause.
Oh, this one may be in pause or something like that. I'm sure it has to do. This is probably accurately recorded, and it's one of them. It almost certainly has to do with the meter and so forth. I don't think these are clearly in pause though. But there, this Mitzrayim. Let's see, in verse 19, King of Egypt will not permit. Okay, in the eyes of Egypt. I think this one's probably in pause. I can't prove it, though, because pause usually affects the last. But with ayin, like on a dual like this, that's probably what's happened. It's lengthened the commas. Because there is a natural pause here in this one where there wasn't in the one in verse 19. So I'm sure it has something to do with that. It's either that or it's another accentual thing. That's the only thing I can figure here. Because it is a natural place to stop, and so they probably lengthened the end on it. The accent didn't change or anything, but it did lengthen. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. Any other questions there? Okay, you've got to watch out for paragogic nuns. Can't tell you anything else. If you see a nun that you can't figure out, you know, consider it probably paragogic. All right. So, bottom line, and I will give this people favor in the eyes of Egypt, and it will come to pass that when or as you go, you will not go empty. Okay, 22, back to John.
Usha Allah Ishan Mishkeni Ta Umigara Beta Kili Ketet Ukle Zahav Usamalo Usamasem Al Benekim
Nitzal Tim? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a silent Shua. Yeah, Nitzal Tim.
Et Mitzrayim.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And a woman shall inquire from her neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one, from
it says stranger. No,
oh,
stranger.
It is from the. Okay, I saw the guy back then. It said a sojourner, a stranger.
Yeah.
Okay.
And from stranger.
Okay, and from stranger. Stranger of.
Stranger of her house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reconstruct, you might say stranger in her house.
It was my poop, it's a
feminine.
Of her house. Vessels of silver and vessels of gold. And
did they give you that vocab word? It means garments, but we have beged for garments, but I don't know if it expects me to look this one up or whether we had the vocab for it.
Yeah, they got it in the back.
Okay, yeah. Simlav. Yeah, the simlav is a verb there. They're going to get two. Well, I'm not sure if this verb is related to it. I think it might be to some extent, because the next verb means to wear. So, and you shall put them on, or you know, put on your...
Yeah.
Oh. Put them on your sons. I don't know, there might be a connection. There's a lot with one that isn't the other, so maybe there isn't, but...
So ours...
Two out of the three letters are the same.
Vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and, and garments are close. And you will
put them upon. Yeah.
The idea is that your clothing.
Well, this might be just from seam to place or put. That's probably what it is.
Oh, okay. And
you
will put them upon your sons and upon your daughters. And you will spoil Egypt.
Yeah, you shall spoil Egypt or plunder Egypt or something, you know. Okay, good. And each woman shall ask from her neighbor and from the stranger of her house or in her house vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall take the spoil from Egypt or plunder Egypt. Okay, I'm still curious about that put on in the clothing there too. I think seam is the verb, and there might be some connection there between, you know, garment is something you put on, something you place upon. It'd be fun to track that down and see if there's any connection. Maybe there isn't. Okay, verse 1 then, going on. Eric, I guess you're up next. An alternative form for hine. It's the last word in your vocab list here. Hin, synonym of hine. Just threw it in there for fun. I'm sure he gave you that word here because it turned up in the text for what he was going to cover. So wahin is just the same as wahine. So and behold. Feel imperfect from Amman, so it used to believe. And I think we had neither this vocab or one before in the Hiphil form. They probably just listed it under the Hiphil. Well, it must be in 214. Okay, it was in the previous one then. They will not believe. Well, you could say believe me, but it normally takes a lamath for the object there. So maybe they will not believe me or believe in me or something like that. Believe with reference to me. They will not believe me.
They will not listen to my warning. For they have said that Yahweh has not appeared.
Okay, you might say, because they will say, so it's an imperfect and there's no series here, so, because for they will say that Yahweh has not appeared unto you. In other words, it's almost like a quotation, they will say, Yahweh has not appeared to you. Because that's Elecha to you. So Yahweh has not appeared to you unto you. Okay. And Moses answered and said, and behold, they will not believe me, and they will not listen to my voice, because they will say, Yahweh has not appeared unto you. It's almost like quotation marks there. They will say, Yahweh has not appeared unto you. Okay? Say again that. Oh, yeah. Hinei. And then he uses if. Well, remember Hinei, it's because of the way he's taken Hinei clauses sometimes in those conditionals. And he probably, I suppose that maybe he's looking for an if here too. You see, that this is that controversy we had with him before, of wanting to make these all just ifs and conditionals. I suppose you could do it, and if they will not believe me and they will not listen to my voice. Well, that doesn't really fit here.
But what if they will not?
Maybe, but that's, you know, you're stretching it even more, I think.
But if they will not.
Yeah. But see, it doesn't really fit with the rest of it. If you go with if there, you need, almost have to say, instead of because at the end, you almost have to say, and if they will not believe in me and they will not listen to my voice, they will say, and take the because out. But I think it's better just to take it as behold, calling attention to it, and then you have a key there for your because, and it's real straightforward. But I think it's because he's looking for a Hinei clause the way he has set him up. I don't remember there. Does anybody have King James handy? Yeah, I forget. I've forgotten exactly how they worded. I get locked into the Hebrew and then I forget. They will. Oh, is that right?
But they have behold, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. I've got that neither nor.
Yeah. What do they say next? Do they say because?
For?
For they will say. They're translating pretty much the way we are. I think they're actually more literal there than he was. Okay. So, the King James is pretty literal in some of those things, like behold and so forth, but, you know, people get. They're almost too literal according to Lambden in some respects in that sense. But I kind of like that. They're kind of reflecting the Hebrew idiom. Did you? Yeah, he tells you it's a synonym of Hinei, so I guess you can reason from that it would fit in all the other places Hinei does. Yeah, so you might add that on there just to, you know, the if is just kind of a little misleading. You know, it's if, you might put down if in certain clause relationships or something like that. But there may be a question, too, whether this hain is used independently for behold. Of course, he almost never wants to translate behold any place it shows up. So that's probably might run into. Okay, verse, do we have enough time to do one more? We're almost going to get the bell. It's a short one. Who wants to try it? Number two. Yeah. Peter? I mean, Bryce.
Vayomer, Hillel, Yahweh, Mazeh, Vayadeh, Vayomer, Mazeh. And Yahweh said to him, what is this in your hand? And he replied, a staff.
Okay, good. And Yahweh said to him, what is this in your hand? And he said, a staff or a rod, whatever. Okay, good. Pretty straightforward conversation, just a few words, we got it all through. And I still got enough time to try one more. That bell is holding off here, we'll give you some more chance here. Nope, there you go, saved by the bell.
I read an article in a Bible of archaeology and they explained how that happened. They said, God gave an example of how Israel ran into Israel, and they said that he took it like this and became stiff.
Oh, just a stiff snake. Paralyzed him or something. Carrying around a paralyzed snake, yeah. Stretched out a paralyzed snake over the Red Sea. That's incredible. Some of those, it's interesting to read because they've got they're more astounding than the real miracle ones. Some of their explanations.
Every 5 minutes,
yeah. Yeah. Doing the thing.
Down black.
Where did you read that, Troy?
Archaeology.
A lot of them, they have, you know, they have manna being a certain kind of stuff that grew on some of the trees. And
oh, yeah.
They've got, you know, they've tried to explain everything. I've seen explanations of the plagues by Moses polluting the Nile River.
And there's
Zolokovsky's theory.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't blame someone.
Something rather but God. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
From the thing that you're writing,
mm-hmm.
If I have my pages, if I can appendix the left included in the total.
No, it depends. You know, if you I'm allowing use of some appendixes, and as long as you don't, you know, write a 20-page appendix in a 5-page paper, you know. But, you know, if you feel that some information that's important that you'd like to have included or have represented, but it's not necessary to the main body of your text, that's all right, and I wouldn't count that. Just, you know, try to be judicious so it doesn't get too far ahead. It kind of depends on what it is, too, what the topic is.
Footnotes and bibliography?
No, that's not included. Footnotes and bibliography would be an extra.
For transliteration, do you want transliteration?